We've been talking about, speaking about dads, before I get to there, I got to, my kids went up to the, Tommy Catania, they went up to the game, and they took a couple of their kids, and they left two of their kids with me. They're my grandkids, and so I was at home, and we were watching the game, and I had Chloe on the left, and Joey on the right, and he's in his Superman outfit, and as we were doing all of this, I have Chloe, and Chloe came, not like that, she came in a Snow White outfit. I kept calling it Cinderella, and she kept correcting me. No, it's Snow White. It's Snow White. And as we were there, and I took it to McDonald's, and I dropped the kids up the game so they could get to their seats. And then we went to McDonald's, and I bought the kids hamburgers and stuff. We came home, we were eating hamburgers and having fun. And then they're all around. I'm trying to watch the game and herd them around, and I'm sitting down, and everything's moving. And then all of a sudden, Chloe comes to me and goes, "Grandpa, I'm poopy." And I go, "Okay. Where's your mom? You're going to have to sit in that mess until she comes back, because I'm not doing that." Now, I realized I couldn't because there was brown stuff all the way up her suit. It wasn't Snow White anymore, let me tell you that. It was, the whiteness had changed, and it was snow brown. And literally, it was so bad that I took it all off, and then I took her diaper off, and it dropped, and I just put her in the shower is what I did. I ended up putting her in the shower and showered her off. I wasn't going to go through 25,000 baby wipes trying to figure this whole thing out. It's been too long since I did all this stuff. So I had her showered out, showered in the whole thing, you know, all that stuff. Bam. So I'm back now watching the game. I don't have any clothes for her, so I just got her in a diaper. She's running around. And so I'm in there, and I'm watching the game now, and then all of a sudden I come back, and she comes to me, "Hey, Grandpa," and her hands are completely covered with just soap. She took the chair over, got to the bathroom counter, and then she did this, and she had it all, literally, it was so thick on her. And when I went in there, I went into the sink, and the sink was literally full, all to the top with suds. She put so much in there, so much suds, all of that stuff. She absolutely made a mess. There was soap everywhere, and I thought, hallelujah. And all I could think about was God going, "You know, it's fun being with Grandpa, but sometimes we make a mess. And, you know, sometimes it's fun being with God, but sometimes we make a mess, but it's okay because God is good at cleaning up our messes because he loves us so much, because he loves transforming hearts." And we've been talking about this truth, the truth of God transforming our heart, not the way the world does. I've been talking about the idea of our thinking process, that it doesn't think like God thinks. And I've been talking, and we've been in a series here about truth. What is truth? Pilate asked it, "What is truth? What is it?" We began to talk about it, that if you want truth, you must listen to God's word, and that truth is not relative, but it's definite and it's absolute, and that God takes truth and he mixes it with grace, and he does something amazing in all of our lives. And that we heard that the Holy Spirit is the lie detector. The Holy Spirit guides us to truth, regardless of how popular truth is. And freedom comes because we know and practice the truth. And even though the truth may hurt for a little while, it will set us free, because truth sets us free as we come to it. Last week we talked about sin, and owning up to it brings freedom, and hiding from it brings bondage. And Jesus never pointed his finger at sinners. He just gave them his whole hand, and he tried to help them out. Neither should we point our fingers at sinners, people who are lost, who are misled, that we look at them and think that we're better. And by the way, I want to thank all those great Bereans that were out there, because I gave you the wrong reference. It wasn't Luke 8, it was Luke 18, as I had a number of people let me know that. So I'm thankful that you're not just taking what I'm saying, but you're searching it out. That is great. About the difference between the tax collector and the Pharisee. And we said that truth creates a reaction. We can either embrace it or be threatened by it. And you can get all those messages from parents. You can get all the messages. You can hear exactly what your kids are hearing from here. They're always online. We live stream them. By the way, I want to welcome all those who are from Living Faith Spokane who are watching it live stream up there. We're glad that you're here, and everybody else who's watching it live streaming right now. We're thankful that you're here, but you can always get it also after the fact. Go to our website, livingfaithfellowship.com, or you can go to our Living Faith Fellowship app, and you can hear exactly all the messages of what your kids are hearing. I want to talk to you this morning, though, about love rejoices in truth. I've got three more messages, this one and two more. These are important messages because it begins to describe the intentionality of the world and the enemy trying to lie to us. But love rejoices in truth. If you wouldn't mind, we're going to read a couple of scriptures. I'm going to go through four scriptures this morning. If you wouldn't mind, we're going to stand and read a couple of them. Ephesians 4, 14 through 15, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. John 17, 18 and 19, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And finally, 1 John 4, 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Maybe sit down. There is a spirit of truth and there is a spirit of error. And the problem is that we think, whatever we think, it must all be the truth. But sometimes we're deceived. Sometimes we're deceived. I want to start unpacking a couple of these scriptures. I want to move through them. In Ephesians 4, let me go through it. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He's got a church and people and people being educated and trained. And he's got people involved in this. Why do they have them all? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. He's got a job for saints to do. He's got a job for all of us to do. So he wants to educate us in what that job is that we are supposed to do. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a, say it with me, perfect man. In other words, we're growing. We're growing into something. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our objective. To come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants you at full measure. He wants you at full measure. The enemy wants you at half measure or no measure or offbeat. He doesn't want you in anywhere. He doesn't want you growing. He wants to keep you where you are. Dorian, you know what the Lord would love, or what the enemy would love to do with you, is to keep you right there. Oh, you're fuzzy and got a little warm fuzzy and everything's wonderful and great. Don't know anything else. Don't take Carpenter series. Don't do anything. Don't get baptized. Don't do nothing. Just sit there and go, oh, I got it. He would love to just keep you where you're at, to not let you grow. He would love that you didn't even know the Lord. But since you do know him, now he wants you to know very little. Don't know much. Don't know. Hey, keep some of your same beliefs and just stay where you're at. Don't change. That's exactly the enemy's strategy, the enemy's plan, is to get us to kind of not worry about it. That we should, and here's what he says, the reason he wants to train us up is that we should no longer be children. That word in the Greek is actually the word for babies. It actually, that word means not speaking. Means an infant, a person who doesn't speak, a baby, one that doesn't understand information. It's a person who's unlearned. But God doesn't want to birth you and have you be unlearned. God didn't bring you into the kingdom of God so you would stay exactly where you're at. You've got an excitement. You've got that enthusiasm. But God's saying, I want to put so much information, so much wealth, so much understanding, so much truth inside of you, Dorian. I want to radically change your life. And in the radical changing of your life, every person in which you come in contact with is going to look at you and go, dude, what happened to you? What's going on with you? Why are you thinking differently? Why are you talking differently? Why are you acting differently? And you're going to say, because I found truth and truth is setting me free. I'm walking a whole different way. And this different way of walking, I'm enjoying. I'm liking. I'm not depressed anymore. I'm excited about life. I have a song inside of my heart. I look forward to getting up in the morning. And then people start going, I want, how do you get that? That's how we change a world. That's how we change a culture. It's by living out our Christianity. But it's by growing in our Christianity, not staying as an infant. Not staying as a child. He gave you a second birth. And he wants you to grow. He wants you to continue on. But he says that we should no longer be babies, these infants, tossed to and fro. and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And here's what he's saying there. Tossed to and fro. All of a sudden, if you stay where you're at and go out into the world, people are going to go, hey, you know what? You can still be a good Christian, and you can still do all these things, and you can do all that. God doesn't really care about that. And then all of a sudden, people can toss you to and fro and give you their thought. You know what? I've always thought about that issue. I've always thought, that makes sense. And we get tossed to and fro by what's spoken out there, by what our most famous actor on TV is saying, or what our TV show that we love is saying, or what people out there in the news are saying. We get tossed around because it's the last thing that we heard. Instead of, wait a second. I am growing. I'm not just listening to the last word. I have some principles. I have some ideologies. I have some foundations that I'm growing on. And they're based upon the word of God. And my life is being radically transformed by this truth. I am standing on the word of God. I am standing on truth, not just thoughts, not just ideas, but we're standing on the Word of God. Because if we're not standing on the Word of God, we're standing on nothing, and we're standing for nothing. And the only thing worse than standing for nothing is standing opposite of God. Here I am. I'm drawing the line. This is what I believe. If God's looking at you on the other side of the line, my encouragement to you would be to cross over the line. I've decided to change my thinking and my thoughts on this because he's staring right at me. He's on the other side. He's God Almighty. I'm little. He's big. I think I'm going to change. Hey, bud. All right? There's so many people, well, this is what I think. And I go, but God's on the other side of the line. Standing for nothing is bad. Standing opposite of God is worse. Standing opposite him is worse. And how do they do this? How do people get us tossed to and fro? And he begins to explain to us. He's saying, hey, I don't want you tossed to and fro. I've given you a people in a church. I've given you teachers and instruction and all of this. I want you to grow, Dorian. I want you to grow as a man of God. But out there, he's saying, he's telling us, here's what's happening. They're going to toss you to and fro. How are they going to do that? Number one, he's going to give you three ways they do it. Number one, by the trickery of men. The trickery, that word trickery comes from a word that means a cube or a dice or gambling. It comes and it means artifice or fraud. And artifice means clever or cunning devices or expedients, especially as used to trick or deceive others. Fraud, this word fraud, is a deliberate deception to secure unfair or unlawful gain. Trickery. Or I would describe it trickeration. You hear about that. I always think about it. I don't know where Tommy's at. Tommy, are you here somewhere? Did he leave? Where are you? Oh, you moved over there? I was just thinking about BSU and trickeration. That's all I could think about. When I was thinking about trickery, deceitful and deceitful and all of that, I was thinking of trickeration. BSU does a lot of trickeration. I know, I'm just teasing. I'm an Idaho guy. He's a WSU, or what are you? Are you human? Oh, that's right. Okay, great. Hallelujah. Trying to trick us. Trying to trick us. It's the ultimate trick or treat. It's out there, and the enemy is trying to trick you. Understand that. When you walk outside of your door, read this word and understand the word of God. And when you get out the door, there's a whole lot of trick or treating going on 24/7, 365 and a quarter days out of the year. The enemy is trying to trick us. Men will try to trick you into believing a lie. Well, that sounds fun. Well, that sounds good. You hear him talk. Well, that makes sense. That's logical. And we get this idea that we hear from out there and they're tricking us and we think that it's logical. But we have to realize that God is bigger than that. We think that because we believe it, it must be true. God says it's what is true. And what is not true. In America, we have freedom to do what we want, but truth is governed by something bigger than the United States of America. We're a dot in the city of Pullman. We are a dot. You are a dot in the city of Pullman. And you're a dot in the state of Washington. And you're a dot in the country of the United States of America. and you're a smaller dot in the continent of North America, and you're a smaller dot in the world, and you're a smaller dot in the galaxy of the Milky Way, and you're a smaller dot in the universe. And your little dot is trying to tell the maker of the universe, I got the corner on truth. Excuse me? What did you just say?
I said, I've been studying this out.
And I think you got a few things wrong. Oh, tell me, oh great one. You know, it's pretty ridiculous when the dot is telling the creator of the universe what truth is. When the dot is telling the master and creator of the universe what truth is. I think it should go the other way around. And the master of the universe has told us what truth is, and it's right here. And there's a whole other aspect of what people believe that truth is that don't know God who are trying to tell us what truth is. I would rather believe the person who designed it all than the person who's less than a dot on the map of the universe and less than a dot on the timeline of eternity. I'd rather believe him who is eternal, all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, all-wonderful, all-great, and I've seen change my life. That's the truth that I want to believe. As I talk about it this morning, I'm going to talk about there's a good God trying to show us his absolute truth, and there's an evil devil trying to make a lie sound amazing. There are two forces trying to influence your logic and your thinking and your determination of what truth is. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Number two, there's this trickery. Number two, in the cunning craftiness. How are they going to get you to persuade you? In cunning craftiness, adroitness, trickery, or sophistry. Adroitness means cleverness or shrewd. Sophistry means to use fallacious arguments, especially with the intention of deceiving. Do you understand what's going on here? I just wanted to give you the depth of these words. Or, number three, deceitful plotting. He's saying, don't be tossed to and fro because these folks over here are going to use trickery. They're going to use craftiness. They're going to use deceitful plotting. That deceitful plotting means fraudulence. It means an imposter or a misleader is what the word deceitful means. Plotting means, it's where we get our word method. It means the method or the strategy or the way. He's got a strategy and a way to lead us in the wrong direction. The enemy has a strategy, a method for your destruction, a thought-out plan to get you to believe a lie. The enemy is going after you. He is very intentional. He has a strategic plan for your deception and ultimate destruction. And these scriptures from God give us a warning sign. Warning, warning, warning. Someone's going to try to toss you to and fro out there. They're going to try to make it look good. Someone's going to try to trick you. Going to try to trick you into believing a lie. So someone's going to try to use cunning craftiness to be deceitful, using fraud to try to get you to believe a lie. Hey, hey, warning, warning. Someone's out there is plotting for your demise. Warning. Are you reading the warning label? Or are you proceeding with this? It won't happen to me. He's after us. But there's somebody greater. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Don't neglect the warning label. That's why we need a church. That's why we need teaching. That's why we need to grow. That's why we need to dig into the Word. The world is a wrong foundation to stand on and a wrong well to drink from. We think that that stuff is true. We need to undo and redo. I know when I came to Christ, I had to undo some of my thinking and redo it. I had to undo some of my thinking that I had been inculcated from just growing up on a TV and all of that stuff. Looking at all of those things and all of a sudden realizing, wait a second, those things just brought depression and despair and I wasn't going anywhere and I felt bad about myself and I felt condemned and I was doing wrong. I was doing stuff I shouldn't ever do. Oh yeah, and I thought it was fun, but the next morning I was living in regret and hurting and sad by it all. Dorian, but God has a way. He has a truth.
He wants to change us by this word. He wants to undo some thinking and redo it according to the word of God. Well, that would be brainwashing, wouldn't it? Well, a lot of us need our brains washed. But let me say this. If I'm going to have my brain washed by someone, do you want a dot washing your brain? Or do you want the master of the universe washing your brain? I'm going to be brainwashed. Now, great, we're all brainwashed. I'd rather have the master of the universe wash it right than the dot telling me what's right and wrong. The enemy achieves its goal by trickery, craftiness, and deceit. But God has another way, not done with deceitfulness, craftiness, and trickery, but with love. Look at this next scripture then. But speaking the truth in love may grow up, not stay a baby, not stay an infant, but may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Speaking is the action, truth is the objective, and love is the motivation. He doesn't use deceitfulness, craftiness, and trickery to try to get you to do something. The enemy always will. He'll promise you something and lie about it. He'll promise you'll get this and then you won't get it. He'll promise you pleasure and you go, oh yeah, I got it. And then all of a sudden you got all this pain and hurt. God will never trick you. He'll just speak the truth. But if I do that, it'll be painful. Yeah, it will be. But Lord, it's going to be real painful. I know. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be some painful walking there. But Lord, then why would I? Well, look past that. First of all, I'm going to be with you. And sometimes, you know, I'm going to pick you up on my back and I'm probably going to carry you half the way. Secondly, where are you going to get? You're going to look back and you're going to go, wow, I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad that I'm here. God never lies. He never tries to go, oh, do that, and deceive you to try to get you to do something that's right. He just tells you front up, straight up, dude, yeah, it'll cost you some, but in the end, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be, oh, dude, it's going to be great. He speaks the truth in love. Hearing the truth is how we grow as Christians. Oh, that's wrong? That's sin? I didn't know that. I was tricked in believing that it was okay. It's legal. A lot of things are legal that aren't right. It's because we make something legal in the United States on a dot. Remember, just because a dot tells us it's legal, I want to listen to the master of the universe to find out what I'm supposed to do. I'm having less and less faith in dots and more faith in the master of the universe who showed his love for us by sending his son, who so profoundly loved us that he paid our penalty on a cross at Calvary, brought us into relationship with him, set us free and opened up heaven's door to us and give us a destiny that lasts forever. I'm going, dude, who do you want to listen to? A dot? Or the master of the universe? Love. Love doesn't always try to make you feel good. Sometimes we need some Simon Cowell honesty. Sometimes we just need the only place that voice should be used is in the shower and then sparingly. I'm saying sometimes we need the honest truth. But in love, Simon needs a little love. He does, you know, he's got the honesty down, but he needs a little love. He needs a little love. The greatest thing a friend can do to you is tell you the truth about something, love you and say, hey, dude, you're going the wrong direction. Going the wrong direction. Love suffers long, is kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but, say with me, rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth. Really? Oh, you're saying some stuff that's kind of tough to hear, but it's the truth. Thank you for having the guts to say that. Love is honest, and it doesn't hide the truth. It exposes the truth. Here's my observation. Telling the truth is a characteristic of love. If you remember, God is love. It's a characteristic of God. In John 17, continuing on in our study here, it says, I have given them your word. Remember that God's word is the truth. I've given you this in all of its principles from the master of the universe. This is my word. And the world has hated them. I gave them my word, and the world hates them. He's drawn a delineation here. The word of God, the world hates it. That word hatred means to detest, or it means to persecute. It hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. When Jesus is walking around, dude, you ain't from around here, are you? You walk different. You talk different. You are. God came from heaven. We're now citizens of heaven. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. Our heavenly roots draw us back there. And there's going to be a problem between the world and its ideologies and those who are from heaven and from the master of the universe. The ideologies of a dot are different than the ideologies of the master of the universe. And there's a clash. There'll be a clash that's going to happen. You're not like us, so we hate you. We used to do that all the time when we were younger. You're not like us, so we hate you. You're different than us, and we hate you. You think differently. You believe differently. You act differently. Therefore, the world doesn't like that. Remember the two forces, good and evil. Truth and lies. The good or godly share the truth and are hated and berated for it. The evil or worldly propagate the lies and are loved and celebrated for it because they're of here. And that's a problem for us. When we got born again, we got born from above. Our destiny, our citizenship changed from this dot to the director of the universe, to the master of it all. Our birth certificate changed. Born in Boise, Idaho. In 19... Now it says, born from above. Heaven. Citizenship. Heaven. And because we have a different citizenship, we're not from here. We're living here, but we're not from here. God gave us a new identity. Give us a new purpose, a new vision. So the things of this world will be different. And the people that are in the ideologies of the world will see that and go, you're different. And so what are we supposed to do? Well, let's hurry and get out of here. No. I'm going to read further here. He's not going to have us get out of here. He's not going, oh, you're different. Just wait till you get to heaven. Hold on to your truth. Hold on to your truth. Don't let anybody take it. Just hold on to it. And pretty soon, poof, you'll be in heaven. It's not what he wants us to do. He wants you to tell the truth. Because there's a whole bunch of other Dorians out there who are really bad atheists that God wants to make really great Christians. Oh, no. I'm sure there's a time when Dorian could have, he would have said it was all nonsense. Just saying they're out there, folks. Are you living it? Do they look at you? You're acting differently. You're walking differently. I'm afraid of that, so I move back from it. But actually, I'm intrigued by it. You respond differently. As Christians, we must realize this. We don't fit into the mold of the world. It should not feel right. We're citizens of a different place. We're citizens of the kingdom of God in heaven. And here's what he says. Okay, since the world hates you and you're here, oh, I don't want you to feel the friction, so I'm just going to take you out of here. I'm just going to get you out of here. No. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Oh. I thought I was already... Wait, what? Get us out of here. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. but that you should keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the devil. Keep them from evil. Keep them from the trickeration and the deceitfulness and the craftiness and the plotting that's out there. Lord, Dad, keep my friends from that. Let them walk in the truth and not give up or surrender the truth for a lie. They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. He says this twice. Once, a phrase, and says it again. I'm not of this world. They're not of this world, just as I'm not of this world. This is the second time he repeats this phrase, reminding us of the importance of not being a part of this world and its system and ideology and way of thinking and lies. You're not from here. You're not from here. Well, but everybody else, I know you're not from here. I'm in a place where I'm growing and knowing the Word of God so I can understand what our citizenship in heaven is supposed to be like. What that lifestyle, this is the constitution of heaven. He wants us to know it. Here's what Jesus goes on to say. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify. Make them holy. Make them pure. Set them apart. Set them apart. What sets us apart from the world is this. What makes us different in our thinking is this. What makes us walk differently, act differently, talk differently? It's this. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Make them holy. H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Make them holy, Lord, by this. The Bible sets Christians apart from the world. Take time to let it soak in. Take time to study it. Take time to talk about it. Thankful for all of you who are in the Carpenter Series. Those of you in Bible Foundations 1, 2, 3, and 4. We have mirror classes. We have so many areas for you to continue to grow. Leadership class, so many different things to grow your faith. So you're not a child. You're not a baby. You're not an infant. If you marinate in the Word of God, you're more palatable and better tasting as a Christian. You're going to smell like what you have been stepping in or soaking in. You're going to smell like it. Here, I got some bubble bath. Buttery flour. Buttery flour. Here, smell this. It's buttery flour. That's what buttery flour smells like. I wouldn't have called it buttery flour. I would have called it smells pinky. Smell that? It's buttery flour. Do you smell that? You probably don't want to sit in buttery flour, do you? I want to soak in some buttery flour. Why? Because when I get down, I'm going to smell like buttery flour. You put this in the tub and you pour it in there and you turn the hot water on and it foams up and you just get in there and you soak. Oh. For like an hour or two. If you have a husband, he's out taking care of the kids and fixing the dinner, doing the groceries and the laundry, cleaning all of the house, and you're in buttery flowers, soaking in buttery flour. Oh. And then you spend time in there, and then it just soaks into your pores and oozes into you. Then as you get out and you dry off, and then you walk around, and then you come to your husband, and you say, oh, thank you for cleaning the whole house and everything that you did while I was there in buttery flour. And your husband goes to give you a kiss, and he comes to give you a kiss on the cheek. He gives you a kiss on the cheek, and he goes, oh, my. You smell like buttery flour. Wow. You're going to smell like what you've been soaking in. You're going to smell like what you've been soaking in. Are you soaking in the Word of God? Oh, I don't have time for it. Then you smell like P.U. If you're not smoking. I was smoking buttery flour. If you're not soaking in buttery flour. Oh, excuse me. It's butterfly flour. Yes, I. Thank you. That makes more sense, I guess. I just can't read. It's kind of faint on there. It's butterfly flower. My mistake. Let me have one more whiff. Oh, yes, butterfly flower. Yes. It's not as slippery as buttery flour. You're going to smell like what you're soaking in. You're going to smell like what you're soaking in. What are you soaking in? What are you soaking in? The ideologies and philosophies of this world? Or, hey, I'm soaking in butterfly flour. Butterfly flour. Oh, smells good. One of the first steps toward a worldly life is the neglect of the Word of God. And ladies, when they go and do this, they're purposeful about soaking. They got to take the time, do all that, put it in, do all that, and make it again, set aside time to make it happen. You just go, hey, I'm going to work. First of all, I'm going to jump in butterfly flour. it's got to be. I like what D.L. Moody wrote. He wrote this in the front of his Bible. He said this. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. The Bible's truth. If you want to know the truth, you must know the Bible. The Word of God, His words are sure, they're true. God's truth is different than the world's truth. We must read the Bible, find God's truth and His heart. Don't read it to find the loopholes, to justify your sin. The Bible was meant to give us the truth, God's heart. Find it, not justification, to follow your own heart. Are you in love with yourself? Are you in love with the master of the universe? Are you in love with a dot or the master? He goes on to say, as you sent me, now he's going to give some thoughts here now. Remember I said, hey, take us out, take us. Don't take him out. Don't take him out. Keep him from the evil one. And he says this, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I'm going to give them my truth. They're going to soak in butterfly flour. And then they're going to give it away. Just like I did. Jesus is telling us, his disciples, that we have a job to do. Get his truth out to the world. But you just told us if we do, they're going to hate us. They're going to say spiteful things. It's going to be bad. Dorian, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Freddie followed you. Oh, will some hate you? Yeah. Not that you're trying to be an offense. We shouldn't try to be hated. But there's a whole ton of Dorians. That's what he said. There's a whole bunch of people just like you that need to hear what you heard that changed your life because you spoke the truth in love. But if we do, the world will hate us. I know they hated me too. But for some, truth will make a difference. The last scripture, we'll get through it quickly, in 1 John 4, 4-6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now he gives us another thing. Okay, I want you to go out in the world. They're going to hate you, all that stuff, but you're going to win some. There's going to be a bunch of Dorians out there, and their whole life's going to get changed. It's going to be really cool. And I want you to know this as you go out there. Now, what's inside of you? The Spirit of the living God, the Master of the universe, is so much bigger than the dot that the enemy has. He's greater. The Spirit of the living God inside of you is greater. He's greater. He's awesome. He's wonderful. He's amazing. Verse 5, they are of the world, not just in it, but of it, of its ideology, of its system. Christians are to be in the world, but not of it. In it, but not of it. Jesus was in it, but not of it. I'm from a different place. We are in it to save it with the truth, not of it to partake of its lies. We're in it to save it, not of it to be lied by it. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them, agrees with them, likes them, the blind leading the blind. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of truth, what's good, what's God, and the spirit of error, what's evil, and the devil. He's delineating again between these two groups. One that is of the world and one that is of God, a different birth certificate. The people of the world do not understand the people of God. Those of the world have a different spirit. The spirit of error, they're being misled by the misleader. That's what the word error means. It's that same word as deception. It means an imposter or misleader. The spirit of the imposter or misleader. I am mad because a lot of good people are misled by an evil demonic force. There are so many good people misled by and believing a lie. And so we can either say, too bad for you, jettison me out of here, or we can do what God said. Hey, get in there. Roll your sleeves up. Bask and soak in butterfly flower. Get around that person. Love on them. Help them. Encourage them. And there'll be an opportunity I'm going to give you where you can speak my word and their life will change. I'm not taking you out. I'm putting you in. I'm putting you in that you might be a representation of truth with love that will change a world. To get good people confused and swept away into the air so that they're misled, that's what he does. The enemy's plan is to get us to think that the lie is truth and that the truth is a lie, to call good evil and evil good. My last observation, the Bible is the key to knowing the difference between truth and error. Let me close here. Father, thank you that you're the master and designer of the universe. You put it all into motion. You've made it all from nothing. You gave it a sense of an operational manual. You told us what the truth is. You devised it, you made it, and then you told us how to keep it and move it. And that's the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to not give in to the dot, to not give in to the enemy, to not give in to the error, to not give in to the lies, no matter how good they look. Thank you for your truth. Help us, Lord, to live it with respect and honor. Help us to live it so lovingly that people are drawn to it. And even though it wears against them, they realize the value of the absolute truth that's found in the Word of God. Help us, Lord. Help me to live it to the fullest, Lord, and to shine it to the ultimate. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know Jesus, like Dorian, come on up here. There'll be some people who will pray for you to receive Christ. And I'll tell you what, God will be singing on the inside a brand new tune. It'll cause you to look at life completely different. If you need prayer for anything, there'll be people here to pray for you. Dads, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for letting your kids come. Thank you for letting them be a part of this place. And with integrity and honor, we want to continue to propagate the truth in their lives so that they can grow up to be people you're proud of and God's proud of, because they've been sanctified by the truth. Next week, we're going to talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. We're going to talk about the lawless one a little bit more and his plan to erode truth. These last two messages will be important. I thank you for giving me the opportunity and for trusting me and loving me. And I just want you to know how much I love all of you and consider it always a privilege to stand in this pulpit, to be a watchman on the wall, and to live out our Christianity together with all of you. Love you guys. God bless.